Welcome to Pazzo's Podcast. I am Josh. I'm joined with Jason. And unfortunately, our brother in arms, Kevin, well, maybe fortunately, because he's in Florida right now.
Enjoying himself.
Yeah, that's not unfortunate at all, is it? He's been posting, I've seen from his Beercatect Instagram, and all the wonderful beers that he's been able to taste. And I'm jealous. I'm actually going down there June 12th weekend to Tampa region, so I'll be visiting like Cigar City and all those places as well. So excited about that. But I've got Jason here, and then I've also got Brady and Pete. Brady from West 6, you guys already know him. We talked about the Belgian triple last week, and that was a lot of fun because, I mean, man, who doesn't love that triple? I swear, I've got eight of them in my beer fridge right now.
Fantastic.
I made sure that I went and picked those up. And Pete from Kentucky Ale, I'm excited to have you on, man. It's your
first appearance and your
brand's first appearance on the podcast.
Absolutely.
So,
Craft Beer Week, man.
Exactly. We are excited to have both of you guys on. First off, I just want to get into it with Jason because you guys just hold on for a second. I'm sorry. But we promised our listeners that we would answer these questions for them.
Yep.
A few weeks ago, we asked some questions, and then we kind of got into a few things. It kind of took a back seat, and I'm sorry to say that. But right now, we're just going to go ahead and talk about these. So we asked about starter beers for people, and we had a few answers here and there. Jason, I will let you do the honors and read some of these. Read that first one. That is from Lex Beerscene, actually tweeted us.
All right. Lex Beerscene says, best starter beers, Franziskaner, Hefe, with fruit back then, no fruit anymore. Summer beers, they recommend Leffe Blonde or the West 6 Belgian Blonde.
Oh, see, Brady, nice, you're little, right here.
Yeah. Nice little,
I like that.
Pump there. And then who else have we got on here?
Stephen Wilson, actually, is the guy.
Okay, there we go. Czechvar is Stephen Wilson's recommendation. Country Boy Ghost Goza. Oscar Blues Beer Rito. That's a good one.
I like that one a lot.
Ethereal's White Ale or the Great Lakes Dortmunder Gold. Great beers there. Also, Weihenstephaner Weiss Beer, the Spaten Oktoberfest, Gateway Beers. Hoegaarden, Paul Enner, Hefeweizen, and Newcastle Brown Ale.
So, real quick, let's talk about your gateway beer. What was it?
Probably Natty Light.
Natty Light?
No, that was probably the volume beer back in the day. But
depends on which
the gateway first,
joint.
The first beer that I can remember being like, geez, this is ridiculous, was Stone IRS. Like, I had that beer and opened up, like, worlds of possibilities and depth for me for what beer could be.
Yeah.
Well, you know, for me, this is going to be kind of cheesy because it's been since bought by a microbrewery. It is now owned by Miller. But Line and Kugel's Honeywise. Back in the day, I have a quick story to tell about it. It's from Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. And when it was actually owned by Line and Kugel's, they brewed it in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, which is famous for having some of the cleanest water in the nation. And so that went into their beer instead of, you know, now where they go now in Miller time. Not that great of water in that area. But they had some of the cleanest water. It tasted fantastic then. Now I do not even touch a six-pack of it, honestly, because it's kind of gone downhill since then, unfortunately. But Line and Kugel Honeywise was for me. Guys, Brady, I'm going to ask you first. What was your gateway beer to craft brewing?
So it's kind of funny. My wife's from Fort Collins, Colorado, and so New Belgium land. So that one of my first craft beers I ever had was Fat Tire, you know, which
that's
is
a good one.
A first for a lot of people,
yeah,
for sure. But that was probably my first craft beer many moons ago. So,
all right, Pete,
I'm right along the same lines there. It was actually Yingling.
Yingling.
It was one of those where, you know, you couldn't get it here. I went to school in Mississippi, so you couldn't get it there either. And people, every time they were coming from the north, I'd say, bring me a 12-pack, bring me this, bring me that. And, you know, you could sell on the black market to your roommates in college. I mean, come on now.
So you started early in the craft beer.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. Again, Keystone Light was my volume beer back then. So, but no, it was Yingling. It's kind of what got me started into understanding there's more flavors in beer than just some yellow water.
I used to love Bass too. Like, I'm of the age where a lot of the really big craft breweries now, we didn't even have distribution for back when I started even drinking that kind of stuff. And, you know, when I was coming up, you didn't really see anything except for Sam Adams or Killian's Irish Red or, like, you know, the Bass or Harp or things like that. And then, you know, Pazzo's put it on the map in Lexington. They're the first place that really started serving. And now you can go to, you know, any local neighborhood pub and get at least four or five different selections of craft beer.
Yeah, absolutely.
On our last podcast, one of the things that we did ask, because we were catching up there, you know, we had those about two, three podcasts ago. The last podcast we had was Derby beers and then Derby food to go along with that. So Mike from Frankfurt says, you always have to have the hot brown during Derby week. As for beer, he says he loves a good sour to go with the Derby. And Dave from Richmond, which I think that Kentucky Ale, you will love this. He says, you always have to drink Kentucky Bourbon Ale during Derby week. Not too heavy, like a stout, but still get the taste of bourbon. So that's what he loves about it.
Love it.
Guys, Jason, also, what do you think?
I love Burgoo.
Yes.
As a food around Derby and Keeneland time.
Yes, I'm a big Burgoo fan as well.
I love Burgoo. And then Benedictine dip is another one of those Kentucky things that nobody really gets into outside of those times of year, you know, right around Derby time. But as far as beers, bourbon barrel ale, absolutely. You know, I go more for bourbon generally than I do beer during Derby. But, you know, you got to – You can't go bourbon all day.
No, you can't.
No.
Well, you could.
You could try.
But
you might be out before the race.
That's right. All right, Brady, we're going to hop right into this with you, Pete as well. We're going to talk about what you guys are doing this week. It's Lexington Local Beer Week. You know, everybody's talking about all these fantastic breweries that we have in town. What does this week mean to you guys?
So I think the biggest thing is just the kind of coming of Lexington being a beer culture now. I think that's, I mean, it's definitely, whenever you look back 5-6 years ago, you know, there was one brewery in town, you know, Lexington Brewing, and now then we're up to 9.
Right.
You know, so it's definitely, I love this time of year just because a lot of breweries that maybe not everybody gets an opportunity to go to on a regular basis too. People will venture out, and because everybody's having events. You know, I think it's just a really cool thing to see the beer culture that's really happening in Lexington right now. So,
I think it's fantastic. I was talking to Brady before we went on this craft beer book that Lex Beer Scene puts together. Scrolling through it on the line is one thing, but actually sitting down and seeing and remembering 3-4 years ago when this started, and now seeing, you can flip through pages and pages of this tiny little text of all of the events going on around town. It's a fantastic celebration of what Lexington has become in terms of craft beer, and all the breweries that we've got coming up, and all of the cool spots like the Distillery District, and you guys with the Bread Box. I mean, it's just it's an amazing culture that has developed, like, right in front of my eyes, actually. So it's been really cool to be part of.
So, Pete, I'm going to ask you this first.
Okay.
Besides your flagship beer,
okay,
what is your favorite beer that you guys put out?
Oh, man. This actually just recently changed. We have a partnership with Western Kentucky University. It's our College Heights program. College Heights Ale, of course, is in bottles and on draft. We have a new IPA out from that brewery. It's a little 10-barrel system down on Western's campus. And that is, from our portfolio, my all-time favorite beer that is brewed by Lexington Brewing. We have Joe Walls down there. I'm sure you know Joe from back in the day. He is doing some fantastic things with the students down there, collaborating with them, understanding what they like to drink when they go out to the bars, and then trying to craft some beers that mirror what their preferences are, because the students are kind of our lifeblood in that town.
I love to hear that. And what a wonderful name, too. College Heights, considering the Hilltoppers. Mm-hmm. You know, I went to Western for a brief amount of time, I know exactly what that hill is all about. And I love the fact that one of the things that always shined through for that campus for me was the fact that they actually had open tailgating on campus during the game, football game. So that was always so much fun. I mean, you would go to various fraternities and stuff and just always get whatever you wanted. I mean, it was a great time.
Now, were you there during the Froggies days? When that little bar right at the bottom of the hill was Froggy's?
I was not. Oh,
okay. All right. That was kind of back in my day, I guess. Yeah, Froggy's was the spot to have, and they're right down the street from our brewery now.
Brady, your favorite beer that is yours that is not your flagship beer?
I think it would probably have to be our seasonal Pennyrail Pale Ale. Whenever we rolled that out this past year, we kind of went against the tide a little bit. We rolled out a pale ale going into winter, mm-hmm. and everyone was like, that seems kind of odd to do that. But we're like, well, no one else is rolling out pale ales right now, so it's a perfect time. And it got really a really strong following. You know, a lot of people calling for it to be an everyday beer, you know, one that we produce year-round.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's probably our favorite one, my favorite one besides our IPA.
Brady, now that I have your ear and I can call for something to be produced year-round.
Yes.
Hell or Heaven, please.
Oh, Hell or Heaven.
Please.
Yeah.
Please make it a year-round beer.
That was one of our biggest sellers in the can last summer. Here.
Really?
I love that thing. I mean, it is
so
seriously.
The hops are the tricky thing with it because it's got Amarillo and Simcoe hops. We're contracted for those, but we're not contracted at high enough volumes to produce it year-round. So it's definitely a special beer. And we bring it out. We kind of bring it out randomly.
Mm-hmm.
We pop it out in the, a couple times a year. On the board down there, and then also in cans. So, but thank you for the input. I definitely, I think it is a good beer. It's one of my favorite beers we make too, and it's definitely a special time whenever it comes out. So,
Pete, your Blackberry Porter.
Yeah.
I've had it several times, and it has been fantastic.
That came around as it was our entire sales team sitting around drinking at the brewery one day, and we had nothing better to do. Yeah, I mean, we really had nothing better to do. It was we started about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and just started, talking about what's next. We have the seasonal program, and we need something new, something unique. Apparently, blackberries are the state fruit of Kentucky. Didn't know that until. After the beer was brewed, but it came out fantastic for us. We were very happy with it. Just that slight barrel note on the end with the blackberry finish, it turned out very well for us.
That is a fantastic porter. I love that. Well, guys, we're kind of wrapping this up, but Jason, do you have something to say?
One thing I just wanted to say about the culture of craft brew in Lexington is it is extended far beyond now, because now we have a food truck scene that we didn't have before. We had
yes.
all the breweries.
Yeah.
Now we have a pairing scene that you did not have before all the breweries. Now you can go to multiple different restaurants in town and go to beer pairing dinners. We have all of these other great, cultural things that have popped up since all of these local breweries have joined the scene. And I just think it's, dominoes. It's like it starts this reaction that just goes everywhere in town.
If I could say one thing, just pick up this Lexington Craft Beer Week booklet, flip through it, find something that strikes your fancy, and get out and check it out next week, because it's going to be a heck of a week for all of us. Busy week for all of us, guys, but it's what we love to do.
Yep.
So we can really thank you guys for all the food trucks and all those things. So I finally have someone that I can look at and just be like, thank you, man. Seriously, you guys have done an incredible job. I really appreciate all the work that you do putting these wonderful beers out into Lexington, Kentucky. And it's something that, we all have grown to appreciate, obviously. I mean, we're starting this this podcast, and like one of the things that brought me into craft beer is just local beer in the first place. I mean, that was I remember going to multiple different events and things like that, and I would always see the Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Ale. I'd be like, hey, I want to try something a little bit different than your classic, Budweiser or something like that, which was always alongside.
Right.
And I would grab that, and I'd be like, wow, this is, this is something unique. This is something that I really like, and it really got to me as something that was good. And then furthermore, West 6, when you guys came around, man, I loved that IPA when it first came out, that dirty IPA. And, it's some good, good beer. I love the fact that this is all Lexington local, something that we can all be proud of, that has come out and just pushed itself onto the map. And I say pushed itself because, you go around to Cincinnati and stuff like that, people are talking about Lexington, Kentucky as a place that some good beer comes out of. So I'm really, really thankful for you guys. And I'm glad that you guys were able to come on and join us for this podcast.
Thanks for having us. And the big thing is that there's a lot of people in Lexington making really good beer right now. You know, it's really cool. So I would really encourage everyone to get out and see a lot of the different breweries. You know, go venture into one that you, you know, some of the newer ones in town. You know, there's some folks making some really good beer out there. So
competition breeds commerce, and you know, it doesn't have to be some, you know, nasty scene. It could be everybody appreciating everybody else. And
no, well, it's fantastic, and we all, you know, all the breweries really get along. That's one of the great things about craft beer. So it's you know, it's a fun industry for sure.
Mm-hmm. And sure, you push each other, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I'm sure I'll speak for him, but you all keep drinking it, we'll keep brewing it.
Heck yeah.
Don't you worry, we will continue to drink it. Guys, this has been episode 9. That's right, episode 9. We're almost into the double digits. Woo. Of the Pazos podcast. I really appreciate Brady and Pete coming on today. West 6 Brewing and Kentucky Ale. Really appreciate you guys. And we will see you guys again with episode 10. Thank you so much. In my head.